This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, a senior attending neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, a research fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Revista Médica del Instituto Mexicano del Seguro Social, published in 2026, titled Association Between Early Stenosis and Temporary Clipping in Treated Cerebral Aneurysms.
This is a topic that hits home for anyone who spends time in the OR under the microscope. We've all been there, faced with a complex aneurysm, perhaps a large one or one with a tricky neck, where the decision to apply a temporary clip is the difference between a controlled dissection and a catastrophic rupture. But there's always that nagging question in the back of our minds, what are we doing to that vessel wall?
Exactly, Dr. Aris. The study, led by Mercado Guzman and colleagues, addresses that exact tension. They point out that while microsurgical techniques have optimized survival and functional prognosis, the direct manipulation of vessels and the pressure exerted by these devices can lead to endothelial damage and postoperative stenosis.
Right. And the paper sets the stage by reminding us that temporary clips aren't just weaker versions of permanent ones. They are specifically designed for this purpose. They have a closing pressure of approximately 1 newton, or about 60 to 90 psi. That's roughly half the pressure of a permanent clip. Plus, they have a flat, non-textured surface to minimize endothelial trauma.
Despite those design features, the authors notes that there's still limited evidence and a lack of clear consensus on what constitutes a clinically relevant point of cutoff for vascular stenosis after temporary clipping. So they conducted a cross-sectional analytical study to see what's actually happening to the vessel caliber in the early postoperative period.
I like the methodology here. They looked at 43 patients who underwent neurosurgical treatment for cerebral aneurysms. They recorded clinical and surgical variables, and most importantly, compared the pre- and post-operative vascular calibers. Ilara, walk us through how they measured that.
They used high-resolution vascular imaging, angiotomography, angioresonance, and cerebral angiography. They were specifically looking for early stenosis. They used a paired student's T-test to compare the caliber before and after the intervention. They also looked at the frequency of residual aneurysms using scales like the SINDU scale and 3D imaging to ensure procedural safety.
The results are where it gets interesting for those of us in the scrub sink. What did they find regarding the caliber?
So they did find a statistically significant reduction in postoperative vascular caliber. The mean reduction was 5.2%, with a p-value of 0.007.
5.2%. Now, for the residents listening, we have to distinguish between statistically significant and clinically significant. A 5.2% narrowing is detectable on high-resolution imaging, but does it actually translate to a change in flow or an ischemic event?
That's the key. The study found that despite this 5.2% mean reduction, the incidence of what they would call significant stenosis was actually quite low. Furthermore, they looked for associations between the stenosis and several factors, clip type, clinical factors, and crucially, the clipping time, but they found no statistically significant associations.
That's a relief to hear. Especially regarding the clipping time, there's often so much stress in the OR about the clock once the temporary clip is on. While we always aim for the shortest time possible, this study suggests that within the safe parameters they observed, the time wasn't a direct predictor of the stenosis they measured.
Exactly. The paper emphasizes that temporary clipping proved to be a safe and effective procedure. They noted that their clipping times remained within these safe margins, and the frequency of residual aneurysms was also low. It reinforces that the strategy of using temporary clips to facilitate definitive clipping and control vascular flow is sound.
It's also interesting that they didn't find a correlation with the type of clip used. It suggests that as long as we are using clips designed for temporary use, those with the lower Newton pressure and flat surfaces, the brand or specific model might be less critical than the technique itself.
They also touched upon the importance of postoperative monitoring. They mentioned using the SINDU scale and 3D imaging to detect remnants. This systematic evaluation is what allows us to anticipate or reduce the incidence of vascular damage.
Did the authors mention any specific subgroups of patients? I know at the local level, as they mentioned, there are questions about whether certain patients are more vulnerable.
They actually mentioned that as a point of interest. But in their specific cohort of 43 patients, they didn't identify any clinical subgroups that were more prone to this early stenosis. They do, however, call for larger multicenter studies to confirm these findings and perhaps identify those more vulnerable patients in a larger power study.
Let's talk about the why for a second. The paper mentions that the disease itself is a challenge because of the potential for subarachnoid hemorrhage and cerebral ischemia. When we apply a temporary clip, we're essentially trading a brief, controlled period of ischemia for the prevention of a major hemorrhagic event. The fact that the vessel rebounds to 94.8% of its original caliber on average is a testament to the safety of modern microvascular instruments.
It's a very small price to pay for the safety it provides during the dissection of the aneurysm neck. The authors conclude that the procedure is safe and effective, with no significant relation to clinical or technical variables in their study.
It's a good reminder for our residents. Don't be afraid to use a temporary clip if the situation calls for it. The data here suggests that the fear of causing permanent stenosis shouldn't outweigh the benefit of a controlled, safe clipping. But as the authors say, we need to keep the clipping time within those safe margins.
And we shouldn't skip the postoperative imaging. The study highlights that even though the stenosis wasn't clinically significant in most cases, it was measurable. Continued imaging follow-up is recommended to ensure that this 5.2% reduction doesn't evolve or reflect any underlying endothelial issues that could manifest later.
Right. It's about that balance of intraoperative safety and long-term vascular patency. The SINDU scale mentioned in the paper, that's something our residents should be familiar with when evaluating their postoperative results for any residual remnants.
Definitely. So to summarize for our listeners, this study from 2026 shows that temporary clipping leads to a mean 5.2% reduction in vessel caliber, which is statistically significant, but generally not clinically obstructive. There was no direct link found between this reduction and the time the clip was on, the type of clip, or the patient's clinical background.
It's a solid piece of evidence supporting our current microsurgical standards. It's always good to see the common wisdom of the OR backed up by analytical data. Temporary clipping remains a cornerstone of safe aneurysm surgery.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.
Thank you for joining us. Keep your clips temporary and your outcomes permanent. We'll see you next time.